All right. Morning, everybody. I know you weren't expecting me up here. Neither was I. So that's the interesting part of it. We're Pastor, in case you didn't know, got exposed to COVID, so he's not going to be here. He's not sick, but he's not going to be here. So you know you're in trouble when you get a phone call like I got on Friday, and he said, "Hey, how good of friends are we?" I've never heard him start off with a conversation that way. Of course, my natural response was, "Who's this?" So... So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, but appreciate everybody being here. As far as the class that we're normally in upstairs, I mean, Brian also got sick, so they're in here. Some of the stuff you may hear, you may have heard before to a degree. But the good news is, you know, Brian for the last 2 weeks has been given a pop quiz to the class, and you're not going to have that today. So we'll look for all the benefits. So turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm going to eventually get to that. I put everything on here. I've tried before, you know, taking notes and doing them handwritten like Pastor does, but my writing is really bad, so I have a better tendency to read what I type versus what I write. So if you look at 1 Corinthians 16, before we get to it, I do want to talk a little bit about, we're living in interesting times, okay? I mean, I think, you know, we're all seeing and experiencing things that we've never quite experienced before. Society is changing. If you go read the news or, you know, look at something like a Loudoun crime report or whatever it is, you notice that people are having some unusual behaviors at times. And we kind of look back at it and, you know, there's this thing that people seem to be, getting, I'm going to use the term get addicted to. People seem to have an addiction to things that comes out in their behavior. And when we hear the word, you know, addiction floated in today's society, you hear the term he or she is addicted. Let me ask you, you know, what comes to your mind? When you hear something that's somebody's addicted, I mean, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear that term? And this is the speaking part. So drugs, okay, you're addicted to drugs. I mean, normally, the point is when you hear the word addiction, it doesn't necessarily have a very positive term. Would you agree with that? If you actually look at it, I actually looked and, you know, Googled the definition or Googled addiction. And it says addiction is a treatable chronic medical disease involving complex interactions among brain circuits, genetics, environment, and life experiences. People with an addiction use substances or they engage in behaviors that become compulsive and often continue despite harmful consequences. So even if you read that definition, of an addiction, it's not positive. And we talked earlier when I said, what can we be addicted to? Well, you heard somebody, they said drugs, you know, alcohol. You know, you could be addicted to work. You know, you could be addicted to looks. I mean, I know people that inject themselves with poison so they don't have wrinkles, okay? And I'm not against anybody that does that, you know, but it can be taken to an extreme. Mine used to be golf. I used to be addicted to golf, okay? My poor mom, when I was growing up, she'd be trying to have a conversation with me, and I'm there doing a practice swing while she's trying to talk, and she'd finally have to say, "Will you stop it for a second?" But that was what was on my mind, was playing golf. You could be addicted to TV. You could be addicted to computers, Facebook. You could be addicted, especially this time of the year, you could be addicted to shopping. You know, my mom, tomorrow will be 1 year since my mom passed away. And, you know, my mom, you know, if you ever were in a room with her, when you left, you weren't the same, okay? And I mean that in a good way. But, you know, she was addicted to something that had three letters inside of it. It's called QVC, okay? And, you know, as soon as my dad would leave the room, he knew my mom. She would flip it to QVC, what was on there, and then she would flip it back. And just this real quick story with her, she once bought from QVC a Christmas tree. And I remember coming down, my wife and I, for Christmas, and we went in there to this Christmas tree from QVC, and she says, "Can you believe this thing only cost $120? And we looked at that tree, and we said, "You know, we don't believe that's $120. That was probably the ugliest tree that we've ever seen. We actually made a joke of it. And then years later, we're down in Myrtle Beach where they have a QVC, like a return center. We walked in, there must have been 50 to 75 of those trees. Inside, it's selling for $10, okay? So, you know, but the thing is, you can be addicted. You can be addicted to shopping. You can be addicted to cars, pleasure. riches, people. You could be addicted to all kind of things. And to a degree, all of us probably have suffered from maybe from some type of an addiction, some type of an addictive, you know, behavior. And how does the world deal with it? Well, you know, they come up with their programs, their 12 steps, or, you know, they're not that they're all bad. Sometimes, though, they give you drugs that you end up getting addicted to those. So, you know, they have all kinds of solutions. But when you come down to it, what's the cause? What is the cause of addiction? And, you know, ever since the fall, you know, back in the garden, you know, God was dethroned from our hearts and things kind of took over their place. I want to read this one little excerpt here that I took, and I don't know if you've ever, excuse me, you've read this individual before, but you can blame Joe Mims for this. He turned me into this guy called A.W. Tozier, and, you know, I love reading his books. Sometimes I got to read them several times, so, you know, it may have four paragraphs, and it takes me a couple hours, because this guy was, you know, was really very thoughtful, but I want to read something that came from him before I get back into what I really want to cover today. He started quoting from the book of Genesis. He says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So here's Tozier saying, so God here says he created everything. And I'm going to continue reading. God said that what he created was good. Let's think about it. Things as God created them were intended to be good. But what was the purpose or the use of things as God created them? They were made for man's uses. They were always meant to be external to the man and subservient to him. It was for their use. But in the deep heart of man was a shrine where none but God was worthy to come. Within him was God, without 1,000 gifts which God had showered upon him. But sin has introduced some complications and made those very gifts of God a potential source of ruin to the soul. Tozier continues, "Our woes began when God was forced out of his central shine and things were allowed to enter. Within the human heart, things have taken over. Men have now by nature no peace within their hearts, for God is crowned there no longer. But there is a moral dust, stubborn and aggressive usurpers fighting among themselves for first place within." So he just keeps on, and he goes on in this particular chapter. If you ever get a chance, read a thing by Tozier. It's called The Blessedness of Owning Nothing. Great chapter, and this is where this was taken from. But getting back to what I'm talking about, addiction, okay? Something that we all at times, you know, have to fight with. And so, you know, when you think of an addict, and somebody that's addicted to something, you know, what are some traits, maybe something that you see in the individual that makes you think, I think they may have an addiction to this? What would be a common thing?
No self-control.
Okay, no self-control. You know, it's constantly, and I kind of wrote it down as being something that they constantly think about, okay? You know, when they're alone, when they're driving someplace, maybe even sometimes when they're sitting in a church service, you know, their minds aren't where they should be. They're thinking about this addiction, you know? You know, it could be, I'll pick on Arnie for a second. Arnie's real generous in letting me go and play golf with him sometimes. Have you ever seen that you know, Cobra driver that they advertise that'll get you 25 extra yards and fix your slice? You know, I mean, if you're addicted to golf, you think, I got to have it, okay? It's just my addiction. Then you hit the first shot and you break it across your leg because it didn't work. So, you know, so again, you just are obsessed with it. You have an excitement when you start approaching the ability to participate in what you're addicted in. You know, whether it be that first drink that's poured, a drug user getting a fix, maybe a video game that you're starting hour one of 12 that you're going to play it. You know, you just can't get enough of it, of this particular addiction. But my question is there ever an addiction that can be good? You know, we said earlier that addictions are in general are negative, but can you have a good addiction? And that's where I want to get to our passage today. At the risk, you know, if Pastor happens to be watching this, at the risk of him, you know, trying to reach out through the screen and say, what are you talking about? I want to say that there is a good type of an addiction. An addiction that even this morning, I would like for all of us to sit back and try to consider. If you look at the passages I told you to turn to, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want you just to look down starting in verse 13. I'm going to read a few verses. It says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. He goes, I beseech you, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren. And then he goes, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have, what's the next word? They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Verse 16, that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus, and I'm bad with these words, Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you, much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. And all the brethren greet you and greet you one another with a holy kiss. But getting back up to verse 15, you know, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when mentioning Stephanas, he says that him and the entire household have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That word addicted literally means to consecrate, to consecrate oneself into ministering unto someone. You know, so it's consecration is a solemn dedication to a special purpose or service. So in essence, what Paul was saying about Stephanas and his household is that they had dedicated themselves to a special purpose or a special service. And in this case, what they were addicted to was serving fellow Christians. And it's particular those that were in the ministry. Paul, again, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is commending, in this case, an addiction. As a matter of fact, if you were to look through the book of Corinthians and go and read those first 15 chapters, you're going to see that that was a church that would, let's just say, it would not be a model church in today's time. It was a church, would you agree, that it had some problems? It had a few issues. I mean, you think about it for a second, some of the issues that were inside of that church. You know, they couldn't detach themselves, you know, from the world that they lived in. They were bringing problems and things of the world into the church. They were racked with all kinds of divisions. Maybe you remember they say that some said they followed Apollo, some said they followed Paul. You know, they were aligning themselves up with certain teachers, and it was causing divisions within the church. They had a very immoral setting. They had some things happening inside the church that would usually make one person blush, and yet when you actually were to go in and read about some things inside that were going on inside the church, they were actually almost gloating about it. They were almost proud of what was going on. They made a mockery of communion. If you remember, some people were getting intoxicated during the Lord's Supper. They argued about spiritual gifts and argued that there were some of the more sign type of gifts that were more significant than others. And so they totally were misusing that. Paul addressed to them all forms of temptation. They had issues with what the purpose of marriage was, and was it even needed? And there was just all types of disunity in the church. So you go through it and you read all these things that Paul tried to address to this particular church. And as I go through it, you know, I only see one person in that whole book that he commends with something positive. In this case, it was Stephanas. And he was commending them the fact that he and the household were addicted. So here is, he had spent 18 months in Corinth. And now he's away from them, and he writes to them what we find in that first book. And again, getting back in verse 15, something that he talks about them again. He says, I beseech you, brethren. And then look at those next few words. He says, ye know the house of Stephanas, you know, that is the first fruits, and they've addicted themselves. So with all the problems in Corinth, who does he hold up as an example to the rest of the body? He holds up an addict. In this case, Stephanas, somebody that has an addiction. So Paul, in essence, states that, hey, this is a house full of addicts. How would you like to live next to a house that is full of people that are addicted to something? Normally, again, we think of a negative connotation. We're down in Roanoke, probably been a couple of years ago now. We actually were there during, we wanted to talk, address the homeowner association, and we went to a meeting. And the first thing that got brought up, they had police there, and they got brought up there was some very unsavory deals happening in a certain section of the community at late at night, and there was a lot of drug dealing going on. So normally, you know, these people were there saying, you got to help us. So they weren't enjoying living next to a bunch of addicts. So normally when you think about that, it's not a good situation. But what if your next-door neighbor, what happens if your next-door neighbor was Stephanus? Okay? And what you saw was somebody that was just always dedicated to doing the good for somebody else, especially in this case for those of the household, you know, of the faith. What do we know about them? You know, we know in verse 15 that it looks like he was one of the first people under Paul's ministry that got saved. It says that he was the first person. He was the first fruits is how it's mentioned. And what's interesting to observe about this household is that, you know, when Stephanus and his household, when they got saved, it made a difference. It caused a change inside of their house. I'm sure that prior to being led to the Lord by Paul, I'm sure that they had some form of addiction. I don't know what this is not mentioned. I'm going to just have to make an assumption that they had something like a lot of other people down there had. But after they got saved, you know, they got changed. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, we should put off and put on. It looks like the house of Stephanus must have put off whatever they had. And what did they put on? They put on a new addiction, the ministry to the saints. So again, concentrated. They addicted themselves to those. And when they said addicted themselves to the ministry, it means that, you know, what they really desired more than anything else was when they saw a need, they wanted to be able to go and meet it. Literally, when they talk about, you know, addicting themselves to the ministration or to the ministry of the saints, it talks about, bestowing, positive things, gifts to the care of the poor, supplying or distributing. It says to charities, or in this case, to send a thing to one for the relief of their want. So putting these things together, we see that Stephanus and his household were just dedicated, that when they saw a need, and especially we saw in the, is later on in a few other these verses to Paul, that when he saw this need, they were determined to find a way to go meet it. So once they got saved, God placed on their heart, you know, a burden, but especially for those that were inside of the ministry. When they got saved, it made a difference. And so when you look at this chapter and focus on this family, you know, it gives me a little bit of a picture, you know, of this household, someone becoming aware of someone in the church, someone that, you know, they're there serving, and now they want to say, Lord, you know, how can I be used to go and meet the needs of these individuals? The household, you know, they stood out. He says in verse 15, he goes, I beseech ye, brethren, ye what? Ye know. This was a family that was known for that. You know, Paul just knew that everyone there knew that this family was one that was dedicated to going and meeting the needs of the others. And so, you know, and while I'm going to interject this, I bet there was one person in Corinth that didn't know that they were dedicated to it. And that was probably Stephanus himself. You know, when you go and serve, and you serve for the right reasons, you know, you're not there for, you know, what accolades you may get out of it. You know, you just see a need and you just go do it. So, again, this may be a poor example of something like this. But I go back and, like I said, you know, to mom, tomorrow marks the year since my mom passed away. And I remember my mom for about 5 years before my dad passed. You know, he should have been in a nursing home. There was no way he should have been on his own. But my mom knew that my dad, you know, home was his castle. And that's the only place he ever wanted to be. So she, for 5 years, kept him in that home. And other than the last 2 years when she had a person once a week come and help, you know, with bathing, she took care of him all by myself, by herself. And I just remember reaching out and, you know, I'm a mama's boy. I called my mom every day for probably, well, close to 30 years, okay? And I could hear the struggles that she was going through at times. And I just remember sometimes just going, Mom, I don't know how you do this. You know, I don't know how you're doing what you're doing. And you know what her reaction was? She was, do what? You know, she goes, this was a labor of love for her. She didn't see that as being service. And I want to take that and kind of maybe take it over to here to Stephanus. I think Stephanus saw the needs that people had. And maybe people, they saw what this guy was doing and going, man, you know, look at this guy. Look what he's doing. I bet you Stephanus said, doing what? You know, these people have a need, and I'm just thankful that God has called me to be able to go and help meet the needs of somebody that they have. So not only did they know that he was an addict, they knew what his addiction was. You know, they knew that, you know, that he had addicted himself to the ministry of the saints. Now, when you go and do what's right like that, you may have neighbors, or you may, hopefully you won't have people inside the church, but, you know, what do they sometimes call people that are always, and I'm going to use the term always, for take that for what it's worth, that are out there doing right, especially if you're not, and you may be convicted by the actions of somebody. What is your tendency maybe to, you ever maybe, not when I say call them names, it's probably the wrong word, but what do you sometimes think about them? You know, goody two shoes, you know, I wonder what they think they're doing. You know, what do they want to get out of this? I'm not saying that was happening here, but I tell you, I bet you Stephanus and them didn't always get positive feedback from those that were around them. You know, but I tell you, when you're addicted, you know, here's one of the things that's really good about when you're there serving the Lord. You know, he did this in an environment that was very difficult for any Christian, I'm sure, to be part of, to live in, all the things that were going on around him. But you know, when you're busy though serving the Lord, you don't notice those things. You know why? Somebody comes to you and they say, "Hey, did you see what Joe Dill did the other week?" And you go, "No, I've been too busy trying to help meet the needs over here for Paul." You're too focused. And I tell you, and if you're not, you know, if somebody comes and says, "Hey, you know, Joe Dill did A, B, and C," then you know, somebody like a Stephanus would have gone and said, "Well, you know what, brother, that's pretty serious. What does the Bible say we should do if we find that there maybe there's a brother in a fault? What should we do? You go to that brother to try to help him, to restore him." So I tell you one thing. So Stephanus, I could see him now going over to somebody saying something like that to him, accusing somebody of doing something and saying, "Hey, that's pretty serious. We need to go talk to him about it." Now one of two things will happen if that happens. One is going to be maybe have a chance to restore a brother if it's really true. But a lot of times it's just going to be the person that came to you, that approached to you, they just want to gossip. And you go say, "Hey, come on, let's go talk to them." You know what they're going to do? They're going to say, no, "That's okay. I'm not interested." And the good thing about that, it's probably the last time they'll ever come to you because they know you're going to do the right thing. And so, you know, that was what Stephanus was. He was determined, and you know, that he was going to do the right thing. And all these other things that were going on inside of Corinth, he didn't care because he was too busy serving. And isn't that a lesson for us today, even? As we go through and we look at all that's going on in Herndon, all that's going on in Loudoun County, in D.C., and all the things that we see around, you know, we should be so addicted, you know, to serving others and serving the Lord. Yeah, you know, we just don't have time to get involved in all those things, because those things ultimately aren't going to matter. All that matters is us doing the things that are right, just like we saw here, you know, with Stephanus. So, you know, if you're addicted to something, eventually people are going to notice. You know, it what it does to your attitude. Okay, because you're saying, "I can't wait to go serve these people." You know, you're going to be out there and you're just going to want to be a help. And you know, sometimes we have to watch out. Sometimes people can be negative. I think sometimes of Martha. Remember when Martha was serving and she was kind of saying, "Hey, Lord, why don't you get Mary over here helping me?" Well, you know, Mary was doing the things that are right. Sometimes you're going to find that when you're doing the right things, people may be critical, but you just keep on doing the things, you know, that are right. You know, again, when you're addicted to something, it drives you to the point where it just doesn't matter what other people think. I want to do what's right. So let's look at you know, this passage. While it doesn't give us, you know, any specifics other than saying that he and his household were saved, you know, why did he get so addicted to something? I don't have those answers, you know, but I wish, though, that, you know, all of us could take some time and go, "Hey, after we're saved, you know, we just need to be yielded. We need to do what's right." But I think when I look at this and I think about, you know, why did he know what Paul needed? Paul was in there 18 months inside the city. You know, everybody inside of Corinth, I'm sure, had a chance to go and experience some of the same things that Stephanus did. But yet, you know, it says here that he met the needs. You know, Paul said he met the needs that he had. He brought things to him that he needed to have. And you go, how in the world did he know? How did he know what Paul needed? And I'm just going to conjecture this because the Bible doesn't say. But I think it's because Stephanus, probably after he got saved, spent a lot of time with Paul. I think that when you know, the way you get to know what somebody needs is by spending time with them and getting to understand them. You know, if you really love somebody, you know, you're going to want to go spend time with them. Again, these are poor examples, but I tell you, after 36 years, my wife and I've been married almost 36 years. Okay, and after 36 years, I don't want to sit there and say that I always know what she thinks. And heaven help her if she ever knows how I think at times. You know, but it, you know, after spending time with somebody, you have a tendency to know. It wasn't too long ago that I was looking for something that I had on a table. And we were having company. And I know that sometimes we're having company, and I'm not the neatest person in the world. That, you know, she'll do a little flurry of cleaning to go and get everything cleaned up. And then about a couple of days later, I was looking for it. And I asked her, I said, where did you put such and such? And she goes, I don't know. And so, you know, I remember the next morning I got up and I said, all right, I know my wife. If she were to go do this, where would she put it? And I thought of two spots. First spot, it wasn't there. The second spot, it was. Okay? And so point being is, why did I know that? It wasn't because of a guess, because I go, you know, I know her. I've spent time and I understand, you know, a lot, you know, of how she thinks. You guys that have been on you know, we support a lot of missionaries here. For those that have been on missions trips, even though we support a lot, you probably have a closer attachment to the missionaries that you actually have met when you go in the mission field, because you've seen them in work, you've seen their ministry, you've seen their labor of love. I remember when I was over in Papua New Guinea, and you know, Matt Allen to this day is very, very dear to my heart, because I saw things that they went through. That we here in America would probably have a fit. You know, the first, I think, 2 or 3 days we were there, they had 11 inches of rain. And we were having problems getting certain things across a creek in order for us to go and help build this this hangar up on this airport for him to fly his plane in. You know, and they were throwing stuff in. It was getting into the lake. And I'm sitting there going, this stuff's going to be ruined. And they're just laughing and having a good time. And it's just part of what they do. And I just remember the love that I even have now. And it's been probably 10 or 11 years since that trip occurred. But it's because we spent time with them. Okay, and that's how you know what somebody needs. If you know, in verse 17, Paul says that Stephanus, he said that he provided himself. He says, for that was lacking on your part, they supplied. So here's a household, Stephanus, that knew what Paul needed. He must have spent time with him for those 18 months, you know, beforehand. He became burdened, you know, with the importance of spreading the gospel, and wanted to be a part of it in any way that he could. He wanted to do his part. And then, you know, if you were to look in 2 Corinthians, and don't turn there, but just think about, as I read this, some of the things that Paul went through that he shared with Corinth. He says, it's in verse 11, he says, he's in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more often, in deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers. And we can go all the way down. And it talks about the things that he suffered, that he went through. And I'm sure when this second letter came to Corinth, you know, Stephanus saw that, you know, and I'm sure it impacted him deeply because he knew Paul so well, and he wanted to make sure that he go, that he went, and he helped to try to meet that kind of need. So again, everybody knew about Stephanus in Corinth. They knew what his passion was, and here is Paul, you know, perhaps, you know, the greatest missionary ever. You know, and we go back and say, man, I can't imagine, you know, the rewards that Paul's going to have one day, you know, when the Lord is handing awards out for his service here on earth. But do you think Stephanus has got any rewards for what he did? You know, Stephanus maybe didn't go and do the things that Paul did, You know what? But he did what he could. And here's an individual that went, and he actually met the need and was an encouragement to Paul. And so a point I want to make here is that, you know, not all of us are going to be out on the mission field, but there are things we can do. You know, we can give, you know, we can pray, we can reach out to them. You know, we hear all the time how missionaries talk about, you know, the encouragement they get when they hear from somebody from a church. And sometimes we just are over here, we kind of forget what they may go through. And yet, Stephanus was determined that he was going to go and help meet the needs. And Paul says, get this, he says in verse 17, he goes, I'm glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaeus. I mean, when Paul saw them coming, it was an encouragement to him. Now, let me ask you, I mean, have you ever seen somebody that come down the hall and you just wanted to kind of maybe duck in a side room and go, you know, I haven't got time for this, you know, or I'm the problem with the class that I teach, they've learned all my bad traits, okay? But sometimes you see somebody and they come in and you just go, oh, man, I just don't want to go deal with this person right now. Think about here. Here's somebody that Paul was encouraged about when he saw him coming in. And can you imagine, you know, being able to be an encouragement to somebody that's out serving the Lord like he's doing? You know, you can even think even in today's terms. You know, we've got, you know, who does pastor have? Pastor's always reaching out to us, you know. He always got his family that's around, but whoever encourages our pastor or any of the pastors that are on staff, you know, we should take the time and appreciate the things that they do. And I know that we do, but do we show it? Let's be a Stephanus, and let's go and let's make it where people are glad when they see us coming into the room. You know, because we're going to be an encouragement to them. He says in verse 18, he says, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. So again, he was glad. He was refreshed. That word refreshed literally means that it enabled him to kind of get a little recovery from the labors that he'd been going through. That let him have the chance to go and renew his strength a little bit. So Stephanus did that for Paul, and you know, here Paul, you know, has it for us in the scriptures for us to be able to go and remember and see what Stephanus had done. You know, you may not ever realize until you get to heaven what it has meant to the saints that you've gone in and tried to be a help to. You know, and you don't do it for the rewards that are going to be coming up. You're doing it because you know you love the Lord and you want to serve, but that's what we're to go do. When you hear, and there's a lot of people that have, you know, that have needs. We're all needy people. But when you hear somebody that's going through something, you know, what do you do anything? Do you reach out to them? Do you help, try to be a help? Do you give of yourselves to be able to go and try to maybe meet a need, even if it's a little bit uncomfortable for you? I know when I read this is just a challenge I know to me that I want to be someone, you know, that tries to reach out and help. You know, this past week, you know, we had, you know, the funeral for Drew's mom. You know, that's a hard thing, that, you know, having lost a mom a year ago. I relate to what that's like, you know, losing somebody that's that dear to you. You know, I had a former lady that worked for me. She was an employee of mine for 17 years when I had an insurance agency. And she just lost her mom 2 days ago. You know, and these are people that you can look at and, you know, and say, I'm sorry, but no. I want to reach out. I want to try to be an encouragement, you know, because I know the encouragement that I received and, you know, when I went through it. And God wants us, as we go through trials and situations, to take the comfort that we've been comforted with and then go out and help somebody else. I've got a whole new appreciation, if you want to call it that, for nursing homes. You know, having had, you know, somebody that has gone through it. And I tell you, one of the biggest things that I noticed when I was inside of nursing homes helping my mom, you can see the difference between somebody that was called to work in a nursing home and for somebody that was just a job. There's a huge difference. And you go and observe that. Boy, you wanted somebody that was taking care of your parent that was called to this, not somebody that was a job. And the point I want to make with that is that should be the same with us. When we go and try to help somebody, it shouldn't be out of duty, okay? It should be because that's what we're called to do. It, we do it because of the love that we first have for the Lord. But it's the fact that, boy, I just want to serve and I want to be used. And you know what? I don't really care what it costs. I don't know what it costs Stephanus to go meet these needs. I don't even know what his resources were. And I don't think it really matters. Okay. All I know is I believe that Stephanus is going to have some rewards in heaven. I'm not going to say they're equal to Paul. I don't know how God's going to go do it. But we know that for the person that had 10 talents and the person that had five, God said the same thing to him. Well done. And I think Stephanus is going to be somebody, because of service and trying to minister and be a help to those who are around, is going to have his rewards. And it's the same things that we have that we can go do today. Remember, you know, Proverbs 25:25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. We sometimes mention that when we're talking about missionaries. But let's don't forget that, you know, there are people all around here. COVID, if anything COVID has done, it's made us learn a little bit about isolation, right? And when you get isolated, it affects people different. Well, reach out to people. Let's make sure that we're a people that you know, the Bible says that Christians are supposed to be known by their love one for another. Let's be a people that is like Stephanus and goes and says, you know what, I'm going to become addicted to service. You know, now I'll give you one warning. Most addicts, when they become addicted to something, you know, once they get addicted to one level, especially let's say if it's drugs, it has to become a little bit more intense. They get more. The addiction just increases over time. And I tell you, if you get involved with service and you see the ability that you know of God using you to help somebody, it's just going to make you more addicted. And here's the thing: you're going to come out of it at the very end, and you're going to be kind of like what my mom said when I said, "How do you do this?" And she says, "I don't know what you're talking about." She goes, "This has just been a labor of love." And that's how you're going to feel when it's done, because God is going to go and going to give you what you need to be that kind of a servant. And you're going to come away from that just going, I didn't help them. You know, they helped me. And boy, what a blessing that would be, you know, for all of us. As we go and we start off a new year, you know, let's be the kind of people that people don't duck away from us when we come walking into the room. Okay. Let's be the people that are servants. And always trying to be a help to somebody else. You know, an addict, you know, as an addict, you know, you'll be dedicated, you know, you'll be dependable. And you know what? At the end, you're going to be a delight. So, you know, my encouragement for you this morning is let's be a Stephanus and let's look to see how can I be used by the Lord just to be a servant and minister to the needs of those who are around us. You know, as we go into the year 2022, let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the time that we have this morning. Lord, I pray that we would just take your word and the lessons thereof, and that God, we'd apply them to our lives. Help us, Lord, to be a church that is known for the love that we have one for another. And Father, let us just be willing to give of ourselves, no matter the cost, so that we can help others and help them, Father, as they serve you also. So, Father, again, thank you for this day. Pray, Father, for the hour to come. In Jesus' name, amen.